8:02 is your time, and a very good morning to you, Namibia, and good morning to you, my dear listeners. It's a Monday morning. It's a Monday morning. We are right in the middle of the month, right in the middle of the fun. It's 15th of the month of June. Welcome to Eagle FM. Welcome to Eagle FM. And to you, it's you are tuning to Unpacking the Day. So how was your weekend? Well, at least you have a World Cup to keep you entertained. So how was your weekend so far? So welcome to Monday. It's a new week. Hopefully you are ready. You are ready to face the week and, to face the week and be a productive citizen and be productive, citizens. As I always said, we have a country to build. It's our own country. There's nobody else who gonna do that for us. So yeah, good morning to you and, welcome to, your number one talk radio station. Eagle FM. So it's a pleasure being in your company at this time, and thank you for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company right this point. All right. So yeah, my name is Mike Oshoveli, and you are tuned in. Yeah, I tuned in to Unpacking the Day. This is your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sure of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty sometimes, and always being curious, asking questions that matter, and giving you a fresh take of what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here. Our main purpose here is to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation with you so that you can be part of the bigger conversation as well. So this is your space then, and this is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So 8:04 is the time, and normally we look at on this day in Africa. We look at what happened on this day in Africa. But it looks like today there aren't much significant days that actually took place on the 15th of June. Unfortunately, we're not going to have on this day in Africa. We got nothing there. All right. So, but let's look at the thought for the day. What we have for, what is our thought for the day this morning? So you cannot control the wind, but you can adjust your sails. You know, when you are sailing on the sea. So you cannot control the wind, but you can adjust your sails. Now in life, the wind represent now things, we cannot control. So the economy, now we can't control the economy. So maybe delays, challenges, even unexpected changes, you know, that come without, you know, comes without warning. So, but the sail represent us, our attitude, our decisions, and how we respond. So we may not be able to stop the wind from blowing, but we can choose how we move with it. So we can choose how we move with that. So we can give up. One thing is that we can give up, or we can adjust and keep moving or keep going. So the real question today is not what is happening to me, but how am I adjusting to what is happening? So it's not what is happening to me, but how am I adjusting, you know, to what is happening? So because in the end, progress is not about perfect conditions. It's about smart adjustment. So that's your thought for the day. So, and if you're just joining us, welcome. You're tuning to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So, and I'm Mike, your host. All right. So what are we looking at today? What are we looking at today? What do we have on the agenda? What is on the menu? What are we eating? Okay. So Two story, we're gonna follow two story. One is really about Namibia's mining sector, which is experiencing a strategic copper revival. There's now a revival in copper as now global supply concerns drive international buyers to secure offtake agreement, you know, with emerging local projects. So there are some emerging local projects. So, and international buyer have secure offtake agreement, have secure some agreement with this emerging local project. We're going to look at that. So it's a story that's coming up, Ecofin agency. So we're going to look into that because it's interesting. There are a few things that we need to look at and question, I think. Okay. And, or deliberate on. And we have the other story. As you know, it's Monday. Our, the Villager is also out. The Monday's edition is out. Have you subscribed? I hope you subscribe because this is where you can get your latest business and economic news. All what you need to do is just get yourself a free copy by subscribing, you know, by subscribing to the Villager. So what do? You simply actually send a WhatsApp message. That's all what you need to do. Send a WhatsApp message with your name and your email address. To 081-241-44, 081-241-44. So then you're getting your free copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So yeah, what the story that we're going to follow there is it's a new research from the Trade Law Center, suggesting that Africa can significantly actually boost intracontinental trade by modernizing cross-border payment system. You know, the center argued that such digital infrastructure is more feasible, near-term solution is more feasible in a short-term as a short-term solution, then the complex pursuit of a full monetary union, like maybe the euro zones that we have, like when you have the euro, something like that. So they're saying, well, it's more feasible if we modernize cross-border payment system rather than actually having a full monetary union. So we're going to get into that. If the times allows, we're going to get into that. And you know that this is your show. So you are welcome to participate. You're part of the show. So make sure that you unpack all this with me. So after this, stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongoti samweni anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika zeitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe 20 pimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yo mo programa detu Moambo, dengera selma, kodaraje tatu imu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Well, 12 minutes past the hour of 8, and we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. So how was your, actually, so how, I needed to find out. Okay. Well, you when you come in later, tell me also how you find, how do you find the World Cup? How do you find the World Cup so far? So we also have a very interesting article by HD in today's edition of the Villager. Sorry, my mind is, where is my mind wandering? Okay, so very interesting. You know, it's a very different take on the merchandise. Why are we, like many African countries, are buying more merchandise of countries of European teams and Southern teams, South American teams, rather than Africans, you know. So very interesting take, you know, if you're interested in that, ask different journalists from different countries to give their opinion on that. So, and it's a very interesting take. Yeah. So make sure that, as I said, make sure that you subscribe for the Villagers. So, all right. Just to hear your view so far, in terms of, the World Cup. How do you find it? Find it interesting or find it, I hate the time. I really don't like the time. So now certain matches that you want to watch that interest you, you cannot because, well, you have to work, you know, and you can't just, you know, stay up, for football. Yeah. But some do, some people do anyway. So, yeah. All right. So welcome. Yeah. Yeah. When you come through, tell me how do you find the World Cup so far? So, are you enjoying it? By the way, was that Cote d'Ivoire actually won? They have beaten Ecuador, which is actually good. It's good. I think it's their first win at the World Cup, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, that's a good one. African team has gone. Tunisia is beaten up. Wow. And I was so surprised. Beaten about how many? 5-1 by Sweden. Yeah. So, that's not good. That's a humiliation. Okay. On a world stage. Okay. So, all right. So welcome back. Welcome back and good morning to you. You are still locked onto Unpacking the Day. Yeah. We're talking about copper. Okay. We are speaking about, you know, that same reddish brown metal found in electrical, wires, water heaters, cell phone chargers, and many of the everyday things we use sometimes without even thinking about it, you know? So, but right now, copper is becoming one of the most valuable and sought after minerals in the world. It's becoming one of the most valuable and sought after minerals in the world. And why? Why do you think that's the case? Because the reason is because it's very important for where everybody's moving. Electric cars, electric vehicles, renewable energies. So these are very important because they're essential for electric vehicles. They're important for renewable energy projects. If you have renewable energies, those are the minerals that you need for modern technology and for the growing digital economy. You see, that's why, you know, copper has become now one of the most valuable, sought after mineral in the world today as we speak. Now, and here's the interesting part for Namibia. So after, you know, after years of being overlooked, Namibia have been overlooked for years now. So Namibia copper's industry is now attracting attention again. We are attracting, you know, investors again. International investors are taking notice. New projects are moving forward. And our country is once again becoming an important player in the global copper story. So we're getting now into the global copper stories. And today, so now just grab your coffee, grab your tea, or whatever, you know, still early, still coffee and tea. That's all what you need to take now. And let's look at this story and unpack it together. So, all right. Now, so before, let me take you back. I mean, let me just refresh your mind a little bit, in case you forget. In early 2000s, okay, in the early 2000s, Namibia copper industry was really busy, you know, it was really busy in the early 2000s. Yeah. So it was really busy. The mines were operating, you know, when you travel around, there are trucks moving all over, you know, and people had jobs. Yeah. People had jobs. But then things started to change. Remember, things started to change. Copper prices, I think, fell. The copper prices fell. Investor lost their interest. And one by one, as we have experienced in this country, mines start to shut down one by one, especially copper mines. So before long, Namibia was left with just one major copper producer. I think the Chudi mine. So for almost 20 years, copper was largely forgotten. You know, almost 20 years, copper was largely forgotten. Most of the attention went to, you know, to the new shining, you know, trophy. It was not new shining trophy, but, you know, yeah, to uranium. I think the attention went to uranium, went to diamond, went to gold, and copper hardly actually featured in the conversation for almost 20 years. Yeah, so. But now the story may be changing. Okay? The story may be changing. So on the 11th of June 2026, according to the story in Ecofin agencies, a company called Hartree Metals signed a major deal with Besant Resource. Now, Besant Resource for a project in Namibia. The project is Hope and Gorup Copper Project. So they have signed an agreement with the Besant Resource for a project in Namibia called Hope and Gorup Copper Project. Now, what caught my attention now in terms of that is actually under the agreement, Hartree Metals, will actually buy 100%. Hartree will buy 100% of the mine's future copper production. Whatever comes out there, it will go 100% directly to Hartree. And what they have done already, they have also provided a $7 million, you know, financing package to help get the project into production. So the project is now expected actually to start producing copper concentrated later this year. So now, you know, our mind doesn't just let go. Now you have to think, the reason why I'm actually, you know, looking at that is where we are as a country and what our leaders normally talk about. We're talking about diversification. We're talking about local content and all those kind of value addition, all this now. And you look and you hear here in a company that have an agreement with a mine, you know, to have the copper production, 100% of the mine, you know, go to this company, to this international investor, and pump into money already, you know. So now you're kind of looking, okay, what are the procedures? What are the rules? Those are the stats you started actually to ask yourself. And even the biggest question I have in mind is, why would an international metal trader commit to buy every ton of copper from a mine that has not even started producing yet? The mine hasn't started producing yet, but then they commit, you know, they're buying everything. And why put millions of dollars on the table before the mine is fully up running? The mine is not yet up and running. So, and they have already, you know, put up money. You know, either you look at this and think, kunanime nendunge man. Kunanime nendunge. So, or they are dumb people, or they are clever people, and probably the later. Now, so yeah, and basically, I think that's something that we need to unpack. Exactly what we're going to unpack next. You know, why? Why would a company, actually international metal company traders, do that? It's because they see something. They see value. They see, you know, So mangai keshe atu dimendo dati ati ningina wapo mesho. Kwenye kwa pendu kanale. It's up already. Up. It knows already what's the day look like. Shopo api kufumana ngapo mesho. Oh my dear. All right. Now, maybe why? I think if you look at, you have to look at this into a bigger picture, where we are in terms of why, you know, why, as I said, as I give it an introduction that, you know, copper really has become, you know, the most sought after mineral in the world. So why now you're looking, why the world suddenly want our copper? Why they want our copper? Exactly. Because this is now, that's where the story actually getting interesting. But that's where the most important thing is. So this is not just when you look at this, it's not just about Namibia's story. It is a global story that is starting to affect us directly. You know, there is an issue in the world, and then we become part of this. So the world, as I said, is moving towards a cleaner energy and more technology. So, as I said, think about the electric vehicles, solar powers, wind farms, data centers, artificial intelligence, you know, all of these need one thing in large quantity now. All of this, they need one thing, and they need it in large amount. And what is that they need? Of course, they need copper. They need copper. And experts are warning that the world may not have enough copper in the years to come. In the years ahead, the world may not have enough copper at all. So demand is arising for copper. It's really arising fast. The demand is rising fast. And the demand is rising fast while supplies are actually struggling to keep up. So the supplies are struggling to keep up. So you can see now why the interest in Namibia, and why such a company would actually just say, hey, 100%, whatever comes out of your mind, I'm going to take it 100%. Don't give it to anybody. Okay. So the other thing is also, when you read around, some of the world's biggest copper producing countries are facing challenges. So they are facing challenges. Mines are getting older, you know. Minadako is getting older. Production is actually becoming more difficult. And sometimes in some areas you have political uncertainty, you know. So, and that actually creates risk for investors. And of course, Namibia, you know that Namibia is stable. This is more in a stable environment. Anyone would jump onto that, you know, just like that, you know. So what are international buyers doing? Okay, so what do they do? They are looking for new places. They're looking for new places to secure future copper supplies. As I said, there is a challenges. There are about challenges, and some mines are getting old, and also that in some other countries there are political insecurity. So, and they're now looking out. They're looking at where can we find copper, and boom, that's where Namibia comes in. That's where we come in, and suddenly our copper deposits are attracting a serious attention again. And that's why several major projects are moving forward at the same time. So first we have the Hope and Gorup, which is aiming to start production later this year. And then we have Omitiomire project, a project expected to produce around 30,000 tons of copper a year for more than a decade, maybe for more than 10 years or so. And then there is HYBE. HYBE, it's one of Namibian largest undeveloped copper resources, which is still moving through the development stages. This one it hasn't developed yet. So HYBE, it's the other one. So the conversation have changed. The conversation has changed now. As you can see, the question is no longer whether Namibia has still coppers or something. So we do. We know it. We does. Namibia have. But the real question now is, are we ready? Are we ready for the opportunities and challenges? It's not just opportunities. It's an opportunity, but also challenges that could come with copper. Explosion as we see it now. So are we ready to rumble? All right, so we're gonna come back after this. We continue after this.
Great news, Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So let's look at this. We're looking at this offtake agreement that Hartree Metal. So we're looking at this deal. It sounds great news. It sounds like a great news. A new mine, of course. Remember what he talked about, a new mine. And these are the issues that I have now. A new mine, as I said, as a great news, it's like, okay, new mine, a new mine, foreign investment, more jobs, definitely. So that would bring in more jobs, you know, more tax revenue for the government. Great news, isn't it? Okay. Great news. But let's not celebrate too quickly. Okay. Let's not pop the champagne yet. Sometimes, you know, you need to read between the lines. You know, you need to and remember what we said. Remember what I said in terms of a local content, in terms of diversifying, in terms of value addition, in terms of all those kind of things that we're hearing almost every day. Okay, so where do we fit in? Where all this fit in? You know, what does it mean when a foreign company, you know, secure 100% of mine future production before the mine has even produced a single ton of copper? What does that mean? Yeah. So if the world is heading towards a copper shortage, imagine now that, as I said, you know, some experts are saying that the world is actually heading towards a copper shortage and prices rise. Yeah? The prices rise sharply in the next few years. So we're looking at the price of copper actually going to rise sharply. So now, if you have to think about that, now where a company secure 100% of a mine future production before the mine has even produced any copper, any ton of copper. So who I gotta be like who? Now who stand actually to gain? Who stand to gain the most from this? Now think in terms of that. Who stand to gain from this the most? Will Namibia get the full benefit of the higher prices? When the prices goes up now in few years, will Namibia able to get a full, you know, benefit of those higher prices that's going to go up? No, we won't be able to. Or will the biggest reward, where would the biggest reward go to? It go to the trader. Yeah? It go to the trader that had locked in a deal early, because they are locking in the deal early. So knowing that, okay, this is the trajectory, you know. So this is the trajectory. So they locked in early, and then in few years, actually, their money that they're investing now would be worthwhile. Yeah? Would be worthwhile. So, and we're just thinking, okay, so we don't even know. Yeah? So for us, we don't even know which, you know, that's in few years. That's why we don't even know that in the future this is where it's going. We don't even know that this is where it's going. So we easily just, okay, 100%. Well, good. Yeah? Now let's talk about the 7 million financing package. Yeah. So it sounds like a welcome boost for the project. One can look and say, well, that's a welcome boost. I mean, this would help us to already start, you know, producing. But financing is not free money. Never, never free money. Okay? It usually comes with condition attached. So what are those conditions? Yeah. What are those conditions? If the project runs into trouble now, let's say, for example, the project runs into trouble, what happens next? That's always when you do business, especially with this kind of business. Who carries the risk? And what protection are in place? Those are the things that we, if I were, you know, NP, those are the things that I would ask. Those are the questions that I would ask. So those are the questions that we should be asking, you know, our leaders, especially those who live in those constituencies. Those live in those regions. Yeah? This is what is happening. What's going to happen to this and this and this? And the other thing is this. What we hear all the time, value addition. Yeah? About value addition. Every speech there is value addition. Now, for years, Namibia has spoken about, we have spoken about beneficiation. Yeah? In other words, you know, processing mineral locally. You know, instead of simply exporting raw materials, especially copper now. Yeah? So will this new copper project help us now, help us move in that direction? That's what we're supposed to see now, that there's new disc. We have now found that there's a copper, now we're starting. and we haven't done that previously. Now, is this helping us to move in that direction? Will we process and refine copper here now in Namibia, creating more jobs here, more economic value here? Or we will continue just shipping raw material, because that's how it looked like. 100% already for the company. Once you produce, it's gone. We continue shipping raw materials overseas and letting other countries actually make bigger profit. That's what we continue doing. And we also have, in this case sometimes, like what we are talking about, the Kavango, was it Monday or Friday? Was it Friday or Saturday or Thursday? We're talking about the African, when we are talking about African, isn't it? So you also have to talk about local communities, the areas where these projects are planned. You know, these are not empty pieces of land. Like you know, there are no people or something. There are people. These are land with people. People live there. Their community depend on those land. There are environmental concerns that need to be taken serious. And we don't seem to take those things serious. So have local residents properly consulted. It's not just consulted with bullet presentation. Even in the languages that they don't even understand, you know. So will we get those local people? Will they get first access, you know, to the employment opportunities? Or will many benefits actually end up going elsewhere? That's always the case. Maybe like some of the Chinese company comes with their own employees. And of course, maybe the most important things, the role of the government playing. Because from the story, we didn't hear from here. I haven't heard the role of the government playing in these negotiations. What is the position of the Ministry of Mines and Energy? Maybe think of the Pangelo here. The role of a Pangelo. What is the role of a Pangelo expected to play? Is Namibia negotiating from a position of strength, or especially knowing that in few years' time the demand of copper is actually rising? So we know that in few years' time the demand of copper is going to rise. We actually should be in a position of strength where we can say, but we let somebody already lock in 100%. Whatever comes out there, it's mine. Or we could be in the position we are rushing to sell our resources. We're rushing actually to sell our resources before fully understanding their future value. And that, for me, it looks the case. We don't understand what is the future value, and we're quickly just rushing selling our resources. And the problem we have here is making sure Namibia get the best possible deals from its something, you know, from the deal. It's something, that's something entirely, that's something different entirely. So that's what we're looking for. Are we getting a better deal? A best possible deal from this. And when you read between the lines, you find it difficult to, you know, to get excited. So now, when I said you find it difficult to get excited, it's actually how does that benefit me? So because we are not just talking about tons of copper and millions here, we're talking about what all of this could mean for ordinary Namibian. What all this could mean for us, as ordinary Namibian. If the copper project succeed, if we're looking at that, if this is succeed, start producing as planned, there could be some real benefits. So that's all what we're looking at. From here, we're always looking up for you. What is your benefit when we bring you this? It's kind of highlighting to you. How do you benefit from here? So what are the issues? What is that you need to look at? And how do you have to, you know? So if really, if the copper projects that are being spoken here, if they go as they planned, we could have, you know, other benefits could be jobs. Definitely mining project need. Think of when you're talking about mining project, especially coppers, at what we have seen, for example, in Tumbeb, you need a lot of things. You need drivers. You need machine operators. You need welders. You need electrician. You need security guard. Eh? You need engineers, administrators, and many other workers. You need a lot and a lot of people. That means opportunity for people, you know, across different skill levels. So, yeah, that's a positive. That's one can actually, as I said, if this goes as it planned. So the second thing is it's also more money for the government. You know, if the mines are profitable, government can collect taxes and royalties. So in theory, that money can help. As we said, now when you're collecting, we hope that when the government now collect taxes and royalties, in theory, that's what I'm saying, in theory, that money can help. Can help now pay schools, pay medicines for hospitals, pay social programs, you know, road repairs, yeah, and other public services. But sometimes this comes in where we, you know, the deficit that we're always talking about, you know, the debt that we're always talking about. So this money comes in and they don't really make much of the difference because of where we are already, you know? Yeah. So, but of course, there will be more money for the government. That's a welcome, benefit, I think. And also that would actually it will also strengthen, our economy and also create a more balanced economy. Right now, Namibia depend heavily on key minerals, you know, so then more copper production could help spread the risk and reduce our dependence on industries such as uranium, you know, and diamond. Well, diamond is also also dipping now. So, but yeah, it would help, you know, to kind of diversify. That's the word. Yeah, that's the word, diversification. So, yeah, what is also a welcome benefit? A welcome benefit would be also, foreign income. Huh? It's also foreign income, copper export. Copper export bringing money into the country. And that can help strengthen the economy and support, support economic growth. So there is a lot. There is a lot. If it's become successful, and of course, opportunity for local businesses. So mining project don't operate on their own. It's not like they operate on their own. They need transport companies. Yeah? They need accommodation providers. They need catering services, suppliers, mechanics. And many other businesses. So that can create opportunity in towns like, you know, because these are in towns like Karibib, in towns like Osakos, you know, and the surrounding areas. So, yeah. But, and this is important, none of these benefits are guaranteed. Okay? They are not guaranteed. So we've seen mining explosion before. We have seen mining explosion before. We have seen towns growing quickly when commodity prices are higher. So, yeah, there was a time when towns like Tsumeb have flourished and things like that. So when the commodity prices are higher, you know, those towns flourish but struggle when the explosion ends, you know. So Yeah, place like, yeah, you can think of places like Kombat. Kombat, Tsumeb, what other places were? Berg Oukas, you know? So they remind us that mining success can be temporary. We know that we have seen that can be temporary if it's not managed properly. So, yeah, so as Namibia looks towards a possible copper revival, as the story says, the big question is, you know, will this time be different? And that's my question always. So because, as I said, we know the history. We have been there. Even if we haven't been there, someone have been there, and we know that, you know, the question our eyes is looking, how different this is going to be. How different this is going to be. Yeah, it's like when you're bringing back the Namib Air, what Air Namib, or whatever it is now. So you're kind of like, okay, how is this going to be different? Because we have been there. So will we use the lessons? Will we use the lessons of the past to create a lasting benefit for, this is all what we worry about, for our community, for future generations? Because you may actually deny us, deny our children, you know, this prosperity. Or will we repeat the very same cycle we've seen before? And sometime we can see it. You can smell it. you can smell it. So, yeah, that's a question we all need to be asking. That's a question that we all need to be asking wherever you find yourself. All right? Yeah. And we, okay. The other side of the coin. Let's also, now, to be fair, we also need to look at the positive side of this story as well. You know? The positive side of the story, the fact that, yeah, because there's a positive side. The fact that international investors are showing interest in Namibia copper is actually a good sign. Yeah? It is a very good sign that they are showing interest in our copper again. A few years ago, hardly anyone was talking about our copper sector. So today, companies are signing deals, investing money, and backing projects they believe can succeed. So that's interesting. I mean, that's a positive. That tells us a few important things. It tells a few important things. It tells us that Namibia has valued mineral resources. Okay? I think so. It just says we have valued mineral resources. It also tells us that our political environment is stable enough. Is stable enough to attract investment. So remember what I said earlier on, that in some other countries where there is copper, those countries are not stable. And they're looking where the investment now, they're looking where is more stable. And Namibia definitely politically environment is quite stable. So, and it tells us that our mining industry is seen as a place where a serious company are willing actually do business. That tells us because everybody, it's coming to Namibia. That's a good, as I said, that's a positive sign. It shows also that there's something that we're doing right. You know, companies such as Bezan Resources, Appian Capital, and the developer behind the Hype project are not investing millions of dollars for fun. Company of this size, they're just not investing. Even when you're looking at oil and gas, the exploration, the kind of money that goes into, they don't just do it for fun. It's just because they have really see that we have resources that are valuable. And they are taking really financial risk. Those companies are taking really financial risk, you know. And that should say something. You know, we should be able to say, aha, we have something of value here. So, and as we know, mining is not cheap. It is not cheap. It can take years of exploration, you know, studies, Permits take years sometimes, and construction before you really start to reap the product. You know, construction before a mine produces its first ton of copper. Eh? And in fact, many mining projects never make it that far. Sometimes never make it that far. With all that amount of money that went into it. So we should recognize that these investors are helping to unlock opportunities that might otherwise remain underground. For us, we couldn't do it. So I'm just bringing the other side to say, yeah, let as much as there are other challenges, but there's also we can also looking at this on a positive way, but at the same time. We can also, we cannot afford to be, how would I say? So we cannot afford to be, laid back, eh? Passive. Okay. That's the word I'm looking for. So we cannot be afford to be passive where we just, you know, let the foreigners actually, the investors actually do exactly what they want because they have mullah. We should welcome investor. We should welcome investment, but we should also be smart about it. Okay? We should be smart about it. So the goal is not simply to attract investors. Well, that's what I'm thinking. So the goal is not just about to attract investors. The goal is to make sure that investment create lasting benefit for Namibia. Okay? So that's what we need to make sure that it create a lasting benefits for Namibian. It's creating jobs, support local businesses, you know, develop skills, and it leaves the country better off. It should leave us better off in the long run. I think that's what it should be. So in other words, we should be grateful for the interest that we get, but we should also negotiate carefully and think strategically about our future. So, yeah, that's how countries turn mineral wealth. Eh? They turn in mineral wealth into national wealth. That's how they do it. All right? So, what is your take? What do you think? So, what is your reaction to this copper revival that we have just, look at? 08333-6091. 08333-6091. So you're most welcome to come through and have your say, have your contribution, have your take. All right.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randi toma yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashifareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira seoma, onorahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace. I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Okay. Ongulo Iwandishi. Ongulo Angoyua, that's very good. Okay, good morning and welcome back. Yeah, so we're looking at let's just wrap up look at some of the big takeaways from this conversation that we have. So first Namibia's copper industry is making a comeback after nearly 20 years of being largely out of spotlight. Yeah, if you one can put it that way. And this time, international investors are paying a close attention to Namibia's copper sector. So secondly, a major deal has already been signed for the Hope and Gorob project, while two other significant copper projects, Omitiomire and Hype, are also moving forward. So I think the third thing that maybe we can take from here is that the global demand for copper is growing really, really rapidly. And as country invest, as countries invest in clear energy, electric vehicles and new technologies. And here in Namibia as well, we also have electric vehicles. And of course the new technologies expert are warning that, you know, the world could face a serious copper supply shortage in the year ahead. That give us advantage. You know, that give us some leverage in our negotiations. So the opportunity for Namibia are real. But the other thing is also the same as the challenges as well. So the opportunities are there and so are the challenges as well. So important questions still need to be answered about pricing. So local processing, because that's something that we always hear, and community benefits should be always at the forefront of any project. Environmental impact, we don't want that when things are done, we're left with, you know, this environmental impact and issues later. What is the role of the government in this? Okay. So, and perhaps the most important point of all is the question is no longer whether Namibia will mine its copper resources. So the real question is how those resources will be developed. Okay. That's the question now. How will it be developed? Who will benefit the most? Eh? And whether the wealth created will improve the lives of ordinary people. Because that's what we want to see. We want to see an improvement with all these resources that we have. Eh? How they trickle to ordinary Namibian. That's a conversation. That's the conversation we need to keep having. Eh? You and I, that's the conversation we should keep having. That's the conversation the parliament should be having. That's the conversation, in whatever quota you are, that's the conversation we should be having. Because in the end, my friend, the true value of natural resource, the true value of natural resources is not measured by how much we actually dig out of the ground. And normally that goes now to your GDPs. Eh? How much we dig out of the ground, that's what goes to your GDP. Eh? So we dig out this much. Yeah, that goes to your GDP now. So that should be not be the measure. The measure should be, it should be measured by that what resources do for the people of Namibia. What does these resources do for the people of Namibia? That's how it should be measured. Now, it's your turn. As I said, it's your turn, Namibia. So I want to hear from you about this. You know, do you believe Namibia is getting good deal from this new copper project? Eh? An agreement. Are we getting a good deal? When now a company actually have taken that 100%? Eh? Are we getting a good deal? Should we continue exporting copper in a raw form? Or should we be investing in local processing and manufacturing so that more value stays in the country? And that's what we have been promised. Eh? We want to see that start. We want to see that happening. So the question is, what role should government play in terms of this? Should it simply regulate the industry? Does it only have the role of just regulating or become direct participant? Maybe the government need to become a direct participant or work alongside private investor as a partner. So, yeah, give us your call. Give us a call and join the conversation. 08333 66 091. 08333 66 091. So let's unpack this together. All right.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omudiha utekiro kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandi soma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupipira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi fareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. So welcome back, and you most welcome to continue. If you would like to come through and share your opinion, your perspective on the COPPA revival that we're looking at. But let's move on, because we also have another very interesting story in today's edition of The Villager, by HT. No, by Nino Menwa Valiangala. So welcome to the show, where we break down the big stories and explain why they really mean for everyday people. All right. So I'm Mike Oshoveni, and now we're gonna look at the question that affect traders, that affect business owners, that affect anyone involved in buying or selling goods, you know, across Africa. So why is it still so difficult for African country actually to do business with one another? All right. That's the question. Why is it so difficult for African countries to do a business with one another? And they keep talking, we should be. They're not saying, okay, let's now do this. Eh? I said that we often hear leaders talking about African unity. We hear about the African continent, the free trade area, open borders, you know, and the dream of one Africa market. Sounds great. Sounds great on paper. But in reality, it's often very, very different. In reality, it's often very different, my friend. Very, very, very different. For example, if a trader in Windhoek wants to pay, say, a supplier in Lagos, okay, Nigeria, the payment, okay, because this is what we're going to look at. The payment often cannot actually move directly between Namibia and Nigeria. Do you understand? The payment cannot just move directly between Namibia and Nigeria. Instead, you know, it may have to pass through the US dollar or the euro first. First, it has to pass through there to the US or to the US dollar or the euro first. Now, that means when it does that, that means now extra bank charges, isn't it? It also means a long waiting times. You know, the transaction, it's a long waiting times. And continue reliance what? Reliance on the financial system outside of Africa. So that's basically what it means. You see, just on payment system. So we're not talking about now, you know, border issues, not talking about infrastructure issues. This is another area that when we're looking at this whole, you know, Africa, trading with each other's and whatever, there are many issues, you know, like what I said, think about it like this, you know, think about it in this way. Imagine waiting to call your neighbor next door. Your neighbor is just next door. You're waiting to call them. Now, but your call has to be routed through the switchboard in New York before it reaches them. You know, they are just neighbor here, but it has to go to New York. It has to go to switchboard to New York before it reaches them. Well, it sounds ridiculous. Yeah, honestly, it sounds ridiculous, but that's essentially how many cross-border payment in Africa still work today. Yeah? That's how the cross-border payment in Africa, that's how they still actually work. Yeah? So we're still using US dollars, we're still using euros and things like that. So that's how it works. Yeah? And that raises now an important question. If we are serious about building one Africa market, yeah, why are we still making it so difficult to Africans to trade with each other? Because we are making it difficult, you know, to trade with each other. Why? Why? So let's get to the numbers. You know, I love numbers. Let's get to the numbers. The numbers show a clear problem. What is the problem? Trade between African countries is still very low. Yeah? It's still very low. Less than 18% of all trade happen within the continent. Of all trade that happen in a continent, we are only trading with each other 18%. Now, compare that now to Europe. Okay? Where countries trade around 70% with each other. In Europe, 70%. And if you look at Asia, it's at around 60%. Africa is far, far. You're not even in negotiation. You're not even in Japopo Stafula, you know? You're not even in negotiation here. Eh? Now, the research from Trade Law Center, TRALAC, shows that most African countries cannot be easily exchanged directly with each other. They cannot. For example, Namibia dollar cannot easily be swapped for the Nigerian naira or the Kenyan shilling. So that cannot happen because business usually rely on the US dollar as a middle step. Yeah. So, and then as I said earlier on, that increases extra costs. It also increases delays. So every time money is converted into dollars and then into another country's currency, fees are added. Okay? Fees are added. It's also slowed down payment. And on top of that, the system depends on banks outside Africa, especially in places like maybe London or New York, you know, which are not directly invested in improving Africa trade. Okay? So make sure that you subscribe to The Villager and be able to read for yourself the story in more details. I'm just expanding it a little bit, you know. Now, the expert subscribe this as a conditional, as a coordination, not a conditional, as a coordination problem. Okay? As a coordination problem, since there is no stronger market for direct currency exchange between African countries, so the US dollar becomes the default option. So the US dollar becomes now the default option. So, and this happened not because country preferred. You know, the funny thing is that it's not because the country preferred it, but because it is widely used. That's the only reason. It's because it's widely used, it is stable and easy to access globally. You understand? That's the reason. Yeah? It's easy to access globally. So the US dollar still make up a large, you know, when you have to think of this, it still make up a large share of global currency reserves. So it dominates international trade and including now trade within Africa as well. So yeah, this lead now to think that if two African business want to trade with each other, so why do they still need to go through financial system outside the continent to complete the deal? Eh? We just talk, year after year, year after year. We just talk. Eh? So why don't we come up with something that Africans. Now, let's bring this closer. Let's bring this closer home a bit, okay? Because this is where the issue becomes really, 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 become also real for us as Namibian. Namibia is part of the common monetary area with South Africa, Lesotho and Eswatini. Now, our currency, you know, is pegged to or linked to the South African rand. And within the Southern African region, we already have a work payment system that allow money, you know, to move between bank fairly smoothly in Southern Africa, you know, because the banks are the same. So, and mostly our rent, our Namibian dollar is the same as maybe the Lesotho. What do they use actually? Mapangeni order? I can't remember what the suitors use. Yeah, so within SADC, things are not perfect, but they do function. Let me put it that way. So, yeah, at least in SADC, as I said, they are not perfect, but they do function. All right. Now, the problem starts when we look beyond our immediate neighbors, okay, outside Southern Africa. So, outside Southern Africa, Namibia our trade links with the rest of the continent are very, very, very limited. Very, very limited. You know, in many cases, it is mostly Zambia, okay, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. We're trying to trade with Nigeria a bit. Yeah, so that means out of 54 African countries, Namibia is really just trading actively with a small handful of countries. Small, not even 10. Eh? Not even 10 out of that. Small handful of countries. And imagine now, that leaves huge part of Africa untouched. Eh? Untouched. West Africa, East Africa, North Africa. Yeah? Even though this country or these regions have large market, they have growing industries, you know, and strong business opportunities. But, you know, so we leave those parts untouched, man. We leave them untouched. And major reason is simple. Do you know what is the reason? Do you know what is the reason is? The reason is just payment. Payments are difficult. According to the article now that we're looking at, is that payments are difficult to do. Okay? Many Namibian business cannot easily they cannot easily send or receive money, you know, directly to other countries, to other African countries. Easy from Europe or from any other way, but from other African countries, very difficult. In practice, payment often have to pass through other currencies. You understand, as I said earlier on, other currencies or banking system, if not other currencies, is other banking systems, you know, or foreign bank, or foreign system, banking system, you know, which adds, as I said, remember that, which now add cost, which add delay in transactions, and it also create, create a complication, some extra complications. So even though our system, our current system work relatively well within the Southern Africa, okay? Within the Southern African region, our currency system work, as I said, relatively, reasonably well, okay? It also keep us somewhat boxed in. In somehow, it works well here, but it also keep us boxed in. So we are connected in one direction, but not fully... not fully plugged into the wider African economy. Okay? We are not fully plugged into the bigger, wider African economy. So that's why I said it's keep us somehow, you know, somewhat boxed in. Okay? And of course, that raises an important question. A very, very important question. Well, how many Namibian businesses? So it could be you might have lost the opportunity simply because the payment system made the deal too complicated. You know, seriously, as a business person, we might just, this is make it too complicated. And, you don't want to actually get involved. And how many partnerships maybe across Africa never even got started because the money side was too difficult to figure out. Yeah. Within many Namibian businesses, that frequently happened. Eh? It happened more frequently. It's just the complications there, you know? The complication of that, those extra complications is, I don't want to get all this. And it's taken up. It's a lot of money. You're gonna lose money. So that's and maybe now maybe we can look at it. Please do read the story, so that you know you know exactly the issue that is in there. All right. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah.
So how are you this morning?
I'm good. I can't complain.
Come up again. Say that again.
No, I said I can't complain. Oh, okay. Yeah, just that the currency transaction.
Yeah.
No, that is guided by competition. It's not guide, and the scarce of the commodities is the one that is adding value to what you are trading. So if we're starting to buy our own product, for example, selling product to South Africa, South Africa have to demand whether if that thing is everywhere. It will put your currency down because it come from the Batela system. The Batela system, it was doing the same.
Yeah.
Which is say, yeah, if you are selling a chicken is not expensive because everybody have a chicken.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, no, I get
so,
that.
Yeah. So now, if you look at things that they were trading, it look at how far you're getting that thing. If you are getting it, for example, those ivory and gold, and what else is that, that they were, and the Snala thing, Enyoka. Depending also who getting those thing and how well at the quality, what?
Which
art.
One? Yeah.
When they are doing those things. So it's where it is cast. It can, they, some of the people, they can even ask two cattle out of 1 meter of Onyoka.
Yeah.
So that is where they, that is how you evaluated it. It's not that, I can buy something in Angola. Well, I know even in Zambia I can get even anywhere. If I just raise my hand up, say, I'm looking for a mahang, everybody's coming with a two or three. So it's the way it's evaluated. So that's why now, for us to see that our commodity, our product is worth something, is when I put it in the US dollar, because US dollar is scarce to get. Because most of the business people that are doing business in the United States, they are serious to what they are doing, and they are protect their patents of their product. So meaning the what? For you to making us there, but remember some of those the ideas or the
like the whatever the Pan-African payment and settlement systems. Why wouldn't that is actually started working now?
Yeah, that is what if you look at Djibouti and Kenya, we wanted to do.
Yeah.
So when then now. Ruto went to Djibouti, said, no, we have to try to each other on that, on our currency.
Yeah.
So when the loyalty of the market now, when they went there, they said, no, me, I don't want to see Djibouti. So the thing is just die with the sport. Eh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, unless I will put it on US dollar, how much is worth that in US dollar? You see them.
Yeah.
So that is what the person wants to see his value of his work. So African countries, they cannot do that because they are not economy independent.
Yeah. And your currents are your currents are not equivalent as well, you know.
Yes. Yeah. So most of the, if you look at, for example, Botswana, all the citizens that have the economy of Botswana, they are not the origin from that country.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you expect now them to say it? No. And even Namibia, I think it's the same. We don't have really people that they can say, this is my product.
Mm.
It's my patent. It's my IP. I can protect it. I can sell to whoever I want. No. All what they have is public. So anybody who have money can buy it in South Africa, can buy it anywhere in the world. So those are the things that you cannot protect. So African countries, they are also protecting through their geopolitics to say, I'm selling my copper to China, and China making the copper cheaper to me because I'm the one who's selling it. I need to get it back. And when it get back, but one thing that they don't know is that when you are selling it to $10 per ounce or per, what are they measure per kg, for example.
Yeah.
You sell it $10 US dollar. To buy that 1 kg back from China, you paid $100.
Yeah.
Ask yourself now a question. Who adding value to come on $100 if I sell it for $10?
So you see, as I said, it's a system that are outside of your own continent. Yeah.
Of your own continent. So those are now the things that they have to say, and the what? These guys now, the business people, as I said, the Americans.
Yeah.
They have more power to control because what they do, if you're making this thing difficult to get, they will come up with artificial now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they did it to diamond. Because in America, it's hard for you to get diamond. So what they do now? Those boys, since they figure out how can I make something shine like diamond, or even more than a diamond, they come up with a lab diamond.
Yeah.
So now the one we have that we wanted to control, like Botswana did, So now Botswana
they actually just made you believe that lab diamond is more. It's as much as real as the original diamond, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of powerful companies behind that, you know, the value of the original diamonds actually goes down. You know.
Yeah. So those are the things that we are not the one that is controlling. No matter you say, I'm controlling my copper. They were bypassing the copper and getting up something. Or they go to the recycling even. To getting out of the scrap, the scrapers now. And then, so they got in the enough copper.
But this whole question, because even in the article, there is a whole question of kind of like, judicial payment versus the monetary union. Now, this whole question of monetary union, like the euro, for example, is something that African leaders keep talking about. But given the situation, that's not possible at all.
Yeah, because what the politicians are not seeing here is that they are not one. They determine the economy.
Yeah,
that's where the problem is. So most of the, as I said, the people that have IPO on their head, not IPO but IP, intellectual property, that said, those are the ones that is having more power because they don't want to lose that design to find it in the market of Angola and flocking back to Namibia where it's needed. You understand?
Yeah.
So those are now the monitor is there because these people, they want it to be a part of the international economy. You understand?
Yeah.
So that is where we are not having power to monitor the transaction. Because the transaction are controlled by the people that the people want to be a part of those ones now. Because Europe, when the European countries, when they saw that, they cannot control in the US dollar and the pound. What they did is to be united.
Yeah, yeah.
And they see how many countries in Europe that they have product which is demonstrated in the world market. Like German cars. Like France perfume. So those are now the power of Europe.
And make it easier for them to trade, actually. Far, far much easier. Yeah.
Yes. You see, because they are controlled with their currency now.
Exactly.
They look at the labor. The labor, people are coming from Belgium, Austria, and all of those countries. So you know what? They are the one that is coming to work on European countries. So especially in those industrial countries now. As now, in which country do you think it can have power? Nigeria have only power to purchase, but not power to manufacture.
Yeah.
So Egypt is the same. South Africa is no more an industrial country because whatever, 90% of their products now come from China.
Yeah.
So how do you expecting us to control the currency of Africa? And which country that currency that you think can be strong to control? Because gold just controls a few in Ghana. Because Ghana, the currency is controlled by gold.
By gold.
And what is happening to Cameroon now? Because Cameroon, they make a mistake.
Maybe that's the direction we need to go. Yeah,
but they have faith to sit with their people.
Yeah.
And they start investing in their people so that they can have power. Not to allow people to struggle when they want money to come up with something they don't do, they don't know where to go. You have to go to capitalism countries to getting funds. Yeah. Like what happened to Arika Dangote.
Yeah.
Because that refinery of Arika Dangote didn't funded by the Nigerian money. It's a European money. That's why it's traded in the capitalism way. Because they choose what they wanted. They look at what he did now. He went even public to bring up more power of the world.
Yeah.
Because those people that are buying shares in Arika Dangote, they are not a Nigerian.
Not definitely.
And they come with their conditions. you might end up finding this oil are not sold in Nigeria.
Mm.
Like the way they did, because they were like the way they did it now, they don't want to sell crude oil to Nigeria, to Alika Dangote. Alika Dangote is buying outside Nigeria. How do you expect now the Nigerian currency to be power? If it's Alika Dangote have to sell it outside, making yeah. US dollar, come with US dollar, eh?
You go back where you just actually you're just producing, you know, draw the crude
yes.
oil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So those are the things that if they could know that they want to control in that or monitoring that current, they can learn a lot from Nigeria.
Yeah.
That if you are not controlling our commodities in the market, the problem we have no say. If a person come and say I'm buying this thing for $2, if you don't want to take it, where are you going to sell it?
Mm, yeah.
And that's why I'm giving you that butter system. That is what it was said. The chicken is cheaper, but the goat and the cow is very expensive because not all of you have cow.
Yeah.
So because of you need, I need 10 chicken in one goat.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Mike, it's not easy. It's a capitalism thing. Yeah.
It is not easy. And I think sometimes what I'm looking at is that we need politicians that are economists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the what the noise one.
Exactly.
They need to understand, they need to protect, and they need also to know. And what is the problem in Africa is that corruption.
Mm.
It cannot give power to the economy.
Yeah.
Because decades, this democracy law of 5 or 10 years, it bring up new corruption. It's every time introducing a new system of how to stealing money from the government. Where do you expect now
yeah.
to have independent business people? But if you go to UK, people are not depending on the government.
Yeah. Mm.
Eh? So what I want from the government is just to regulating things like, if I want money from my own bank, which is my country's bank, like reserving bank.
Yeah.
It's easy for me to get it because I'm making something that is belong to UK.
Yeah. Mm.
But here in Namibia, we have no inventory or that can say, I want to come up to make tires.
Mm, mm.
Where are you going to get the money? Because if you go to Europe, you say that what is to get, they will tell you that we have 500 that can make tires.
Yeah.
So get one that can supply for you even for $5. While you wanted to make a tire one. $50. They said now you are buying it for $10. So that dream of yours is died because you can buy.
Exactly.
And that's what they did to South Africa.
Yeah.
South Africa was doing manufacturing what they did in China. Lamaposa went there, they said whatever you want we can give.
So and on that level, exactly, on that level, it's exactly the same thing when now you actually, chasing away the migrant. On that level, where you used to be as a, let's say for example, South Africa used to do actually manufacturing, and now you're flooded with the Chinese who are actually doing that in your country. They have taken your job away.
Yes.
Exactly the same thing that you're fighting for the what?
For the Western.
Yeah. Yeah.
The colonial to go. Yeah, those are the things I'm saying.
Yeah.
Politicians, leave that thing in.
Yeah.
They were not making Africa a better continent to live in. No, they will not. They will just talk, yes, but even this tariff that Trump is introducing, he's introducing out of power.
Yeah.
Not from the small companies. He's introducing it because of those big companies that they are pressuring him.
Mm.
Do this so that you can control the world, so that you can control Chinese.
Yeah. I think most of the things when people are not, sometimes we're looking at what is happening rather than the vision. Sometimes we're looking what is happening and said, well, U.S. is doing this, and it's actually like what they have done even in Iran. You can say in somehow they haven't really won the war, you know, and you can be flagging that and said, but strategically, when you look at the bigger picture, you know, there's so much to that, not to Iran itself, but you're thinking of China, Russia and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. All those economies now, all those beneficiaries, they are gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, yeah. Now they are. Why the things are expensive? It's expensive because they are scarce now. Eh? Because China is no more having access to what he used to have.
Mm.
Yeah. So because of this war,
exactly.
It's changing now. Other countries now, they're starting to consider about America. Let me go to America and see what I can get. You see now?
Yeah.
So they won. Yeah. Economically, they won. And that is what they want the world to change.
That's what they want.
Because in 1970s, when they do it in Vietnam, they also become boosting.
Yeah.
All those soldiers that they were getting packets, now today, they are in the history book of the economy. Eh? They do something better. In 1947, it's the same.
Yeah.
So that is what they do. That is what their people want. That's how they're making money.
So the American want you to believe that they are fighting a nuclear war in Iran. But that's not exactly it. That's not what it is. You know. It's an economic war against Russia and China, you know.
And remember, they don't want Europeans.
Hmm.
Americans, they don't want Europeans to be standing on its own.
Yeah.
They don't want that.
Yeah.
And America, yes, is controlled because of the stubborn of Russia. Yeah. Because that gas that they demanded, very demanded or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's because now, look at Americans is the one that is exporting 67% of the gas in Europe. But while the gas is just here in Ukraine and Russia, so he making them to go to war. While there are now sanctions there, he's the one who supplies them. Don't worry, I will give it to you. You give the job now to Americans. Yeah. While in your country, the job is there. Yeah, Mike, let's hear from others. But
all right, man.
I think the good thing also, president needs somebody.
Yeah.
Whom they understanding these issues.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, Africa, they need those type of people.
Yeah, some. And actually, when you're saying that, it reminds me of, I don't know what is the name, there's a book by the guy Benda or Bella. You know, he's saying intellectual treason, where he said the powerful one, they will actually let the country, actually the intellectual one, they let actually the country rot because they associate themselves with the powerful one. You understand? Yep. Yeah.
And they are controlled by that.
Exactly, you know?
Because the chaos that we have in Africa, in economic chaos, that is what in the West, the resources of the country wasted through that.
Yeah.
Because politicians, what they are planning is just to waste. Not to benefit the citizens, it's to waste the resources because they don't know what they are investing for.
Yeah.
Whether it's retaining or they just gone for good. Yeah, Mike.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks for coming through. Yeah. All right. 0833-663-691. So you can come through. Any of the stories that the earlier one we covered, and also the one that we continue unpacking. 0833-66091 coming to you live from Ondangwa.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that...
Whoops. All right, we missed that one. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back. Come back. Come back here. Come back here. All right. 0833-66091. It's the number you can call. Very good morning.
Yes, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm okay, man.
Yeah. So how was your weekend?
Yeah. The weekend was lovely, man.
Okay, no, that's good.
Yeah, we are watching the World Cup and the African team, except South Africa, they are doing well.
Yeah, no, they are not doing it. Tunisia was just beaten 5-1, you know.
Tunisia is something else. Those ones, know they always qualify, but it's Tunisia and Algeria, I don't think. Those are just numbers. Those ones, they just go and participate.
The Ivory Coast was good. Ivory Coast was good. Really, really good.
Yeah. Very, very. Ivory Coast and Morocco. Yes.
Yeah, watch out for Morocco and Ivory Coast. Yeah.
Senegal also, you can help rule out to Senegal. I'm telling you. Just wait and see. France. I would definitely enter that game. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, Mike, yeah, and this morning, I think you guys were off.
We're off.
The whole only started coming on like around what, when you start talking about at the end, maybe at the end of like a 45.
Seriously?
8:45. Seriously, I'm telling you, in window.
Oh.
You are just talking. I've been talking to myself
the whole time. Jeez.
Yeah. 8:45 there is where I started. Because I just tuned back.
Eh?
Because the radio was just off.
And my colleague, nobody actually even say, hey, you are off.
Yeah.
Eh? Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, Mike, I don't know if I think I have to start with the first one.
Yeah.
The first topic.
Oh, yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking
about. The one
about
of the copper. We were talking about copper. Yeah.
For mine. Yeah. That we are, you know, the investors are coming in, but the beneficiary will not going to be there.
They have taken 100% that whatever comes out of that mine, you know, whatever you produce out of there, we want it 100%. You shouldn't give it to anybody else. Yeah.
Mike, I know. I'm going to be watching it to a Pemuka. You just introduced what? 51% for locally.
No, that's.
And now just.
Remember what was said. Remember what was said. That was not a policy, you know? That was not a policy. So remember, so, that is not a policy.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
Yeah,
so they just proposed something.
It was clear that was not a government policy, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Then why are they talking about it?
So
if it's not a policy.
So you remember the Chamber of Commerce, where the Chamber of I think a Chamber of Man or Chamber of Commerce, one of them, Chamber of Man, I think. Yeah, that actually, see, now we actually, you know, investors are reluctant because of uncertainty of that. And then the minute the government comes out that no, that's not a policy of the government, you know.
who come up with that idea? Then we are, as an idea, we are celebrating, yes. That's why I'm saying, up to now, some of us, we are in the dark. The things which are happening now.
Yeah.
You wonder. And if it also is supposed to say something, man, to the public, you owe us an explanation why you was fired.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the president, they can keep it the way it is, because he doesn't want to announce why if it
But constitutionally, they said it's in the prerogative of the president not to say anything if you want to.
No. We can't continue this way, my friend.
So,
no.
Because when the reason is that when she hired them, you were not asking to tell you why she hired them.
Where she hired them, yeah. And America, and these guys, what they are having in the parliament, why they cannot come up with something to put? Because the president now is like a person who cannot even question. He cannot even. You cannot even what? Say anything about it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, take him, Bella, baby. for Namibia. So I see the things which are happening, like ombudsman, so I see the same in some of our article, ombudsman is having a power to when question the president, but that gentleman who is there, I don't know what it's for.
Yeah.
So there are questions going around in the location in the country.
One of the biggest problem in a country like Namibia is fear. I think we are too few.
I know what.
We are too few to be faithful, to be fearful. My mantra also. We are too few to be faithful. I mean to be fearful. What is the word? Being orchestrated. What is the ostracized? Being ostracized. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. So people are afraid of being ostracized, you know, and cast out. You remember? It doesn't matter now. Kucho uri mo politika, mo party, or mo shike. If you seem to be different.
That's why I'm going to say, you never know. I said, yes, we started talking a long time. Then the Tari Uta, Ulmo Pata, I only my Minister for Labor. For more than 7 years. Oh my goodness. Some of us we don't get any moment. Just imagine from the youth, you never even work in your life, but you have even achieved some of the certificate which is supposed to put you there.
That's why some other people are very clear. That's what I was talking to Andre. That look, the problem is that there was this book. I read it somewhere where it's intellectual, you know, intellectual treason in Namibia. Mm-hmm. Even people who are intellectual, they will leave the country being rot just because they associate them with the powerful one. You know,
yeah, it's
because
true.
They're not saying anything. Mm-hmm. Even they if won't they say anything, something that is wrong.
Because the moment you say something,
yeah.
To collect them.
Yeah.
They will sideline you. It's never even going to call you back again.
So?
And we learn it from even from the what? The last president.
So there
remember
are those
there are people
don't...
who are like Kale and the who was the Minister of Energy at that time.
Yeah.
I think it's Arwendo. Not Arwendo. The other one man. Oh, someone Dunjoriano. I can't even remember.
Okay, Dunja.
Yeah, he was a minister of something. And then he said something about Hage, and now they are not even included. The last that time, I think it's him and the Kale. They talk about something about like no, I think you are not supposed to do this way.
Yeah.
Pain over pain. Shut your finger. Mala, sometimes you just have to be a man enough. Seriously. We cannot continue this way where we are 100% giving a mind.
Once you create a tradition, we have created a tradition of fear, you know, that say something and you find yourself on the other side of the fence. And nobody even looking at you. Eh? So nobody supporting you. So but we have a lot of, whether it's in our,
if you look now, we complain about it. I'm not going to say yes, sir. Now the master Bena Ofik, and Bena Ofik is one of them who was standing out there. Autocratic, and he's also a man of what? Man of the country. I'm telling you, everybody's crying about it. Him to be the Minister of Health now. If you look at the Minister of Health symbol, you remember at that time they said they denied that they don't have a VIP section in the what no stuff.
Yeah.
Today in the media. They come clearing up, come out, they'll make it a private. In the hospital, make it a private for people so they can, government can recover a lot of money. I mean, they can make a lot of money in that process. Now you wonder, what is happening? Who's following you now?
Yeah. So I'm telling you. When you are like a political leader, when you're choosing somebody, what comes first? Is the people that are loyal to me, or is the people that are qualified in what you want
to do things for the right?
So the first thing is actually people that's yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, you know, to you. Yeah? That's the first thing. Whether anyone likes it or not, that's politically that's
no,
the case.
No.
So
we're not supposed to do what
that thing. I think the first thing is not as much as we say it. Yeah, no. We it's for the wellness of this country. No, the first thing you want people around you who say yes. You know. And if they are capable enough, the chances are that, well, if they are capable enough to deliver, fine. But the first thing, it's your own survival.
and we are stepping in the dangerous mind, seriously.
Yeah.
It's a ticking bomb. Because my guess, to make it a matter worse, you cannot have somebody come from wherever to revive our copper 400%. Well, we are complaining that, you know, as a Namibian, when we are doing business, we have to have
61%, which was good. But the other thing, you can't also blame that, because you have opportunity. A Namibian could have actually, an investor could actually have taken 100% of that. So you can't blame, you know, the foreign investor by, you know, they see the future value of that commodity. You know,
exactly.
which ourselves don't see. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Which ourselves don't see. And this is where I normally blame to say, where is our intellectuals? Where is our business people? Where is our, you know, that's where I always, you know, because that's an opportunity. Someone sees the future value and buy it already.
Mike, for you as a Namibian person, they will make it complicated for you. You remember the issue of Amuselele and the partners trying to buy off the what? I think it's Tita Samend or Olongo, one of them. My friend, up to now, nothing come out because the government is playing with cat and mouse.
Well, sometimes it's not really they make it difficult for you. It's just that the standard is actually difficult for locals.
Yeah, even for locals. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Why cannot you make it even like for to meet a layman to engage in that? Because other countries are doing it.
Yeah.
Even the company which is going to operate now, they start small guys. We can't just all of us, we are just a vanilla from Norway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to start from the ground. And our country, I mean our government, the way they look it, you must have something like 100 million for you to come up with even an insurance policy, to come up with a bank, to come up, come on! You can start with, and then matter, we put all our money together, 5,000 for my, 5,000 for my, and so on. Then we start up a bank.
Oh,
once everybody started joining it, the more money we make, the more money we are loaning people, the more what. But the government is just wanting you to have 100,000, 100 million in your bank. Who are we to have that kind of money?
Yeah.
So it's the moment where you are going to say, no, maybe I'm going to get it, the grandson of Dr. Tamba to partner up me. And they come there and then they say, no, my friend, since you are not putting up anything, you'll get only 2% or 1% or 100% of the way it is happening now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, it's a problem, I think. We are not going anywhere, man. Okay, to the second topic, man.
Yeah.
Look at him, Mike. I was even like yesterday, we even had almost every the same topic. Like, if you go around now, it's a World Cup, yeah? Then you are looking even for a jersey set. Like me myself, I was interested to get a t-shirt for jersey.
Yeah.
No way to be found it. But for England, Spain, or whatever, they all were in our market. But even if you're just interested to get even what? Cape Verde t-shirt. You will not get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why does it have to be that way?
So we
why?
It's marketing, man. It's all marketing, you know. So we're not marketing. It's not just, I mean, the interest you create for this countries or for this team is because you see them on a daily basis, you know.
No,
you watch them in La Liga, you watch them, some players, you watch them in La Liga. If I ask you to mention all the players of, you won't even tell me a single
You only name them maybe like 7 or 10 days.
Yeah. So you won't even tell me a single one, you know?
Oh my goodness. We are going to, and that is the problem I think African we have. We're supposed to make it things easy for ourselves. Yeah, because the way our Namibian, the Botswana, they negotiate about us to travel with ID, that is a starting point. We can do this with South Africa also, with Angola. Then we, the whole side can be like, become like that. But the problem is that even the way we are being treating foreign, look at the people who are being going to be chasing in South Africa. I'm telling you, they are going to end up in Namibia. Yeah. And that is a fact. That is a fact what I'm telling you.
Yes, we have, I need to hand over to Bintuka because they have some
interviews
are coming up. Yeah. All right.
Okay, sharp.
Okay, great. Yeah. So, yeah. Good morning and goodbye. Yeah. So, all right. So we definitely come to the end of unpacking the data this morning. Let's do this tomorrow again. Let's see what topic or what issues that that emerge, and we can focus on those ones that affect our day-to-day life. Yeah, from me, Michael Chiavelli, I wish you all the best. I wish you a productive week ahead. And please make sure that you do your best wherever you are, in whatever portfolio, whatever, you know, that you are, whatever you're responsible for. That is very important because it adds value to what we all are doing to bring this country to where we want it to be. So if you are not doing your part, so definitely we're not getting where we want to go. You are the one who actually is keeping us behind. So make sure that you do your part to bring this country where we want it to be. So from me, Mike Vasavelli, I wish you a very good a good day and a productive week ahead. So goodbye from me.